Chapter 24. The next morning, while I was dressing, the doorbell rang, and I assumed that Emma, who was downstairs, would answer it. I finished dressing. Tan slacks, striped Oxford shirt, blue blazer and docksiders, sans socks. Standard outfit of the Maritime Provinces. In Manhattan, people who didn't wear socks often carried tin cups. Here it was très chic. I came downstairs about 10 minutes later and found Emma Whitestone at the kitchen table having coffee with Beth Penrose. Uh-oh. It was one of those moments that called for savoir-faire, and I said to Beth, "Good morning, Detective Penrose." Beth replied, "Good morning." I said to Emma, "This is my partner, Beth Penrose. I guess you've met." Emma replied, "I guess so. We're having coffee." I said to Beth pointedly, "I thought I'd see you later." Beth replied, "I had a change of plans. I left a message on your machine last night." "I didn't check it." Emma stood. "I have to get to work." "Oh, I'll drive you," I said. Beth stood also and said to me, "I have to go too. I just stopped by to pick up those financial printouts. If you have them, I can take them now." Emma said to both of us, "Sit. You must have work to do." She moved toward the door. "I'll call Warren for a ride. He lives close by. I'll be in the den." She didn't make eye contact with me on her way out of the kitchen. I said to Beth, "She's the president of the Peconic Historical Society." "Really? A bit young for the job." I poured myself a cup of coffee. Beth said, "I thought I would brief you as a courtesy." "You don't owe me any courtesies." "Well, you were very helpful." "Thank you." We both remained standing, me drinking my coffee, Beth cleaning up her coffee mug, spoon, and napkin, as if she were ready to leave. I noticed a briefcase beside her chair. I said, "Sit."
"I should go."
"Let's have one cup of coffee together."
"Okay."
She poured herself another cup of coffee and sat opposite me. She said, "You look very dapper this morning." "I'm trying to change my image. No one was taking me seriously." She was wearing another tailored suit, this one navy blue with a white blouse. She looked yummy this morning, fresh and bright-eyed. I said, "You look very good yourself."
"Thank you. I dress well."
"Right. A little severe, but that's my opinion." I couldn't tell what she thought about my house guest, if in fact she thought anything at all. Aside from a small emotional rush that I'd felt for Beth, I reminded myself that she'd cut me loose professionally. Now she was back. I wasn't sure if I should tell her that I'd made some significant progress in her absence, that indeed I believed I'd found the motive for the double murders, and that Frederick Tobin needed to be checked out. But why should I stick my neck out? I might be wrong. In fact, having slept on it, I was less certain that Frederick Tobin was the actual murderer of Tom and Judy Gordon. He might very well know more than he was saying, but it seemed more likely that someone else pulled the trigger. Someone like Paul Stevens. I decided to see what she had that I might need, and what she wanted that I might have. This was going to be a sparring match. Round one. I said, "Max terminated my career with the Township of Southold."
"I know."
"So I don't think I should be privy to any police information."
"Do you mean that? Or are you sulking?"
"A little of both." She played with a coffee spoon a while, then said, "I really respect your opinions and your insights."
"Thank you."
She looked around the kitchen. "This is some house. A big painted lady."
"Your uncle owns it?"
"Yes. He's Wall Street. There's lots of money on the street. I'm mentioned in his will. He's a heavy smoker."
"Well, it's nice that you were able to have a place to convalesce."
"I should have gone to the Caribbean."
She smiled. "You wouldn't have had this much fun." She asked, "How are you feeling, by the way?"
"Oh, fine. I'm good until I try to exert myself."
Don't exert yourself. I won't. So what have you been up to the last few days? Have you followed up on anything? A little. But as I said, I had the plug pulled on me by Max, and my boss saw me on TV the night of the homicide. Also, I think your friend, Mr. Nash, put in a bad word for me with my superiors. Very petty. You gave him a very hard time, John. I'll bet he's a little annoyed at you. Could be. He probably wants to terminate my life cycle. Well, I don't know about that. I do. I said, more importantly, I probably have some explaining to do with the big bosses at Police Plaza. That's too bad. Let me know if I can help. Thank you. It'll work out. It's bad PR to screw around with a shot cop. What do you want from the job? In or out? In. Are you sure? Yes. I want to go back. I'm ready. Good. You look ready. Thank you. I asked her, so who killed Tom and Judy Gordon? She forced a smile. I thought you'd tell me by now. You don't get much for a dollar a week. Or was it a dollar a month? She played with a spoon a while, then looked at me and said, when I first met you, I didn't like you. You know why? Let me think. Arrogant, smart-ass, too good-looking. To my surprise, she nodded. That's about it. Now I realize there's more to you. No, there isn't. Sure there is. Maybe I'm trying to get in touch with my inner child. Oh, you do that just fine. You should try to get in touch with your suppressed adult side. That's no way to speak to a wounded hero. She continued, on the whole, I think you're loyal to your friends and dedicated to your job. Thank you. Let's get to the case. You want me to brief you about what I've done. She nodded. Assuming you've done anything. She said with a touch of sarcasm, you appear to have been busy with other things. Job related. She's president of the... Emma popped her head into the kitchen. Okay, I think I heard a horn outside. Nice meeting you, Beth. Talk to you later, John. She left and I heard the front door open and close. Beth said, she's nice. She added, travel's light. I didn't comment. Beth said, do you have those financial printouts for me? Yes. I stood. In the den. I'll be right back. I went into the center hallway, but instead of going into the den, I went out the front door. Emma was sitting in a wicker chair waiting for her ride. Beth's PD, the black Ford, was in the circle. Emma said, I thought I heard a horn. I'll just wait here. I said, I'm sorry I can't drive you to work. No problem. Warren lives right near here. He's on the way. Good. Can I see you later? Friday night I go out with the girls. What do the girls do? Same as the boys do. Where do the girls go? Usually the Hamptons. We're all looking for rich husbands and lovers. At the same time? Whatever comes first. We do deals. Okay. I'll stop by the shop later. I asked, where's your potty? In the bedroom. I'll bring her with me later. A car pulled into the long driveway and Emma stood. She said, your partner seemed surprised to see me. Well, I suppose she was expecting me to answer the door. She seemed more than surprised. She was a little... put off, subdued, unhappy. I shrugged. You said you weren't seeing anyone else out here. I'm not. I just met her for the first time Monday. You met me Wednesday. Right, but look, John, I don't care, but she's just... Warren's here. I have to go. She started down the steps, then came back up, kissed me on the cheek, and hurried off to the car. I waved to Warren. Oh, well. I went back inside and walked to the den. I hit the play button on my answering machine. The first message at 7 p.m. last night was from Beth, who said, I have a 10 a.m. appointment with Max tomorrow. I'd like to stop by on the way, about 8:30 or so. If this is a problem, call me tonight. She gave me her home number, then said, or call me in the morning, or call my car. She gave me her car phone number, then said, I'll bring donuts if you make coffee. Very friendly tone in her voice. She really should have called me from the car phone this morning. But okay. My experience over the years has always been that if you miss a message, something interesting usually happens. The next message was from Dom Finelli at 8 p.m. He said, Hey, are you home? Pick up if you're there. Well, okay. Listen, I got a visit today from two gents from the Anti-Terrorist Task Force. An FBI guy named Whitaker Whitebread or something like that. Real button-down dandy. And his cop counterpart, a guy we met a few times, a paisano. You know who I mean. Anyway, they wanted to know if I'd heard from you. They want to see you Tuesday when you come in for your doc meet, and I have to deliver you to them. I think the FBI doesn't believe its own press release about the Ebola vaccine. I think I smell a cover-up. Hey, are we all going to get the black clap and watch our dicks fall off? By the way, we're going down to San Gennaro tomorrow night. Get your ass in here and meet us. The bar at Tower Mina's, 6 p.m. Kenny, Tom, Frank, and me. Maybe some babes. We're gonna mangia, mangia, mangia. Bellissimo, molto bene. Come meet us if your pepperoni is lonely. Ciao. Interesting. I mean about the anti-terrorist task force. That surely didn't sound as though they were concerned about a miracle cure for Ebola getting into the black market. Obviously, Washington was still in a state of panic. I should tell them not to worry. It's pirate treasure, guys. You know, Captain Kidd, doubloons, pieces of eight, whatever the hell that is. But let them look for terrorists. Who knows, they might find one. It's a good training exercise. The feast of San Gennaro. My mouth was watering for fried calamari and calzone. Jeez, I felt like an exile here sometimes. Sometimes I got into it. Nature, quiet, no traffic, ospreys. I could conceivably be at Taormina's at 6 tonight, though I didn't want to fly that close to the flame. I needed some more time, and I had until Tuesday before they got their hands on me. First the docs, then Wolf, then the ATTF guys. I wondered if Whitaker Whitebread and George Foster were in communication. Or were they the same guy? Anyway, I retrieved the pile of financial printouts. Also on the desk was the bag from Tobin Vineyards that held the painted tile with the osprey. I picked it up, then thought, no, then thought, yes, then no again, then maybe later. I put it down and went back into the kitchen.